But now we really are getting into the realms of making the knowledge easier.
Like, subscribe, comment, and hit the notification bell for any future videos.
So one of the things that was once said, that, oh, if we let you in, it just means that all taxis will be driving enough. Was it Fenchurch Street?
No, so it was Leadenhall Street.
Leadenhall Street.
I've never heard anything so ridiculous.
Why would we all be driving there? We'd only be driving there if we're going to or from being flagged in. It's not something that we'd be just driving up and down Leadenhall Street, polluting the road, waiting to be flagged down.
Yeah.
They don't understand what a taxi is and what we do. And I think every time...
Who doesn't understand?
People with planning permission. I'll probably misquote them. I said at the last senior reps meeting, I actually said that the ranks and highways, which Cameron sits for on behalf of UCG, represents the UCG on it, the planning for TfL should actually sit down and talk to them, because Cameron tells me the ranks committee was trying to get a meeting with the... Who was it? TfL's...
It's the team... The roads are split by boroughs and the TfL roads, which are about 5%. So it's the transport network, road performance kind of team.
Right, so the road performance team won't speak to the... This is the farcical, and this is true. Won't speak to the ranks and highways. They'll only speak to senior reps. But when you speak to me, I don't live and breathe what the road changes are. Ranks and highways, no.
Yeah.
So I said, you should be really... having regular meetings with the ranks and highways. They can tell you where they want, what they think we need improvements on. You can tell them what you think we should be, where we shouldn't have access, why we shouldn't, et cetera, et cetera. But he went down like someone had farted at church. Got no support from anybody else. Genuinely didn't. And one of the comments I took quite offence for, was from the new commissioner, is, oh, we don't really want to be keep talking to another moaning society. But it's absolute... You know, I find it offensive. It's wrong. It's not professional. It's basically the very people who could turn and say why we need access are the very people you don't want to talk to. You want to talk to me as a senior rep. You know, I don't want to sound arrogant now. I'm a senior rep, but I do not know. But you might want to say, but guess what? I'm going to give you access to Pentonville Road. Oh, fantastic. Well done. I'll go back to the committee. Guess what? We're getting access to Pentonville Road. And then Karen says... But Pentonville Road's being changed in 6 months, so we're getting absolutely nothing. What's happening after the redevelopment? Mm. Have we got access then? Oh, I don't know. I didn't know that was getting... See what I mean? And that's what they do, and it's called... Let's call it what it is.
So you're talking about a genuine one, aren't you? Okay. The access to Pentonville Road of going through the bus lane and coming out...
Oh, I'm talking genuine.
And is also then going to change in six months anyway?
Yeah.
They're going to redesign all the junctions around there. It's been a long-term plan. So, you know, a bit like the stuff they're doing around... Theobald Road, Southampton Road. Well, historically, as part of putting all
this... We're being managed, Dean.
Road space is a premium, and we all know that the sort of general mantra, they want more people using active travel, and, you know, but But you also have to factor in that London's a working city and things have to be delivered and people have to move. But as part of putting in the cycle lanes, they were also supposed to look at a number of junctions, the Theobald Road, Southampton Row 1 being one of them, that where they were supposed to design. So somewhere it fell between Camden and TfL, and some of these schemes were parked pre-COVID and then kind of re-engineered, a bit like Lambeth Bridge. So Lambeth Bridge... Lambeth Circus, Millbank Circus, the removal of roundabouts and those kind of things, supposedly designed to make the junction safer, in the kind of model of like Old Street, where it's debatable, has it made it safer or not?
Wow. So they're going to take away the roundabouts on Millbank Circus and Lambeth Circus.
So that work will start earlier this year. So that was a long-standing scheme, but these things evolve. So often they get parked and then they get manifested from a safer junction programme into an active travel programme or a blend of the two. So some will be TfL schemes, some will be borough schemes.
Yep.
So some of that stuff kind of goes on as well. So because there's been a lot of accidents like that turn into York Way, there is a plan. I think we got it about three months before Christmas, that they will now look again, and in spring 2024, I mean, obviously some of it might be a movable feast because there's a mayoral election, that they will look at these safer junctions and stuff like that. But the worry is it's the time it takes. So I think we had 18, there were 18 bus lanes that we'd wanted access to for, I think, I'm sure it was quoted as 10 years. And then it was whittled down. We gave top three priorities. And this has taken like 18 months for somebody to say. And we still haven't seen a traffic order. The other two were really not of any use whatsoever. They weren't really game changers. Pentonville Road will absolutely help because we keep saying there's an issue getting into St Pancras.
Yeah. When will it be implemented?
I don't know, waiting on the traffic order. We've been told it was early 2024.
But the caveat with that is that they are going to have a total review of that area, so we'll...
And then they'll change it anyway to something to suit something else.
For years and years, pushing for access to bus lanes, and eventually we was asked to all put forward then your top three. Now, I remember it very well, and we liaised with all the others to make sure all the other organisations were all singing from the same hymn sheet. It's not that we put the three that we thought was the priority. When we sent it to TfL, obviously the UCG's one went in my name as the General Secretary, and then apparently we was talking, we was in favour of having ZEC-only bus lanes. We've discussed that. They'd made a mistake. They'd actually made a mistake and they had to cover themselves quickly. So that tells you that them conversations are taking place.
Mm.
So we got, you know, but that's not really a long term because, what was it, 50% of the trade now are, or the fleet now is electric. But see where we're going. You see where we're going. And as I say, with the shortage of road space in London, that's at a premium. With the licensing that's coming soon of pedicabs, they're also going to be wanting space to be outside venues and that. I think that the relevant people should be talking to the relevant people of the taxi trade. It's no good turning and saying, well, we can't speak to the ranks and highways because they don't want to talk to the ranks and highways because they know their own, they know their stuff.
Mm.
They might go, well, that ain't going to work. So what they do is they just pass it on to, say, the senior reps. But we, as a senior rep, and it sounds, I'm not, what I'm saying is I have to have, as a senior rep, I've got a broad view of the spectrum, but I don't specialise in a specific... Because I can't. Because if I want to know all about what's the road space and ranks and highways, then I don't know about the public eye status, or I don't know what's happening with the tariff.
So Karen is ranks and highways.
Karen is our representative on ranks and highways. So I say they should be speaking to the ranks. She's on the ranks committee. They should speak to the ranks committee. When you have the tariff, talk to, you've got a tariff committee. But what happens is it comes up to senior reps. Now, we've always had a view in the UCG. We've always wanted what we're entitled to. We've never turned down a pay rise. But all of a sudden you get senior reps and say, oh, we don't want to frighten people off and we won't have a... And that's why we end up situated a couple of years with no pay, with no tariff increase.
Which senior reps are you talking about there?
Well, you draw your own conclusions. It wasn't me.
I think, to be fair, I mean, I think there's this perception that, we have more than one organisation. I think there is this perception that we don't actually work together on certain things.
Yeah.
But actually we do. So,
well, we try.
We try. So, I mean, the ranks and highways, Paul took over from Richard Massett when Richard Massett retired, and then we joined the committee at the same time.
Because there was a pushback. We tried to join for a long while and people didn't want us there. We were going to be nothing but trouble. But I would say that. I think we've actually made everyone up their game.
Mm-hmm.
And tariff, they all same. Work together and do a combined sort of response. I think, to be fair, we do pull in the same direction, but each org seems to have red lines or priorities. I think where the change needs to happen in terms of the trade is we're very much a reactionary kind of environment where it's about what we earn today, what we earn this week, the next pound note. So when we talk about vested interests, absolutely, we've all got vested interests. So, you know, January comes around every year, the kind of kipper, we know it's going to happen. We all still drive around looking kind of miserable, but it's not a surprise because it happens every January.
Yeah.
So at the moment when you're out there, you probably don't want another 4,000 cabs out there. But medium to long term, we've got an ageing demographic. Yep. We need to replace the new blood. And I think, you know, we've always had private hire drivers come in to the knowledge. We've got some on our committee. We've got a lot of our members that came that route. I think the bit we're not getting is where we would get people coming from other industries, where people might have been made redundant. They might have thought they want to do a job where they're kind of their own boss and it's a bit more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're getting those pockets people.
But we used to.
It's lost this enticement. I mean, back in the day.
And it goes back to what I say. Why was it lost?
Many things have changed over the years, Trevor. But back in the day, you'd have police commissioners doing the knowledge.
Yes.
You would have certainly people that had very skilled and qualified jobs doing the knowledge. Something has changed with the perception of who and what our job is. We've taken a pounding in terms of the you situation has just changed the perception of it and where the future will be. Technology has hit and changed the perception of where the future will be and the skill that we require. Why do we do the knowledge anyway? And this old thing. But when you did the knowledge, we still had sat-nav and people were probably talking about it then. Why are you doing the knowledge still?
Probably did, but the sat-nav, you can't undo technology, but forget the sat nav in a minute. You've got people acting like a ghost taxi fleet. So, in the past, you come out of the theatre, then you need to get to the Waterloo station. You're on the Strand. You're looking out for orange lights. Now you can open the phone. It don't only show you what's in the Strand. It shows you what's round the back, round the Aldwych, what's up on Fleet Street. You can see round corners through buildings. It's brilliant. And you can press a button and they're acting exactly the same. What is the difference between pressing that button or putting your hand out?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, you know, the two-tier system is not viable if you're both working the same.
No. So now what you're getting into the realms of how do you separate those two things? Because the app is not going to go away.
So how can
you make it different? I mean, just throwing out silly ideas. A taxi, if you press the button, can be there immediately. But if you press the private eye button,
We've always said
there shouldn't be a time delay.
That's a UCG policy.
I just invented that. I thought
that's a UCG policy. But people were saying, "Oh, that'll happen. Is there'll be a little egg timer go on, and then it'll be well, look, do it. If it wouldn't make no impact into private eye's business model, mm-hmm. they would have done it, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have been screaming, kicking. Lobbying not to have it.
Mm-hmm.
The argument was to do
women's safety.
Yeah, to push back. But we have this old toffee sometimes when we go out and do the site visits. So when it suits, safe travel at night is really important. Well, it should be important every night.
Exactly.
Because it's dark at 5 o'clock. So one of the things we're getting with Bank is a lot of passengers. Not only women, but sometimes they can, you know, where people don't come in every day, you can come out of work at 6 o'clock and it's like the Marie Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some more attacks and things around there. So safe travel at night and accessible travel should be every day of the year. It shouldn't be limited to just because it's Christmas and more people are going out in the evenings. So you can't really pick and choose that stuff. And actually, if you are paying your restaurant bill and you are tapping the app so that you don't need to wait outside as a woman on your own or anybody, you don't want to wait outside in the cold and look for a light, then how are you less safe? Because you're paying your bill, you're waiting in the restaurant.
See earlier on in this conversation today, it was touched upon that we had a meeting on the knowledge and it deteriorated, and I hold my hands up. I contributed to perhaps a deterioration, but you run a knowledge school, so tell me why a taxi driver should know, say, what the gentlemen clubs on Pall Mall. Do they really need to know that?
Well, I'm going to just say one thing, really, which is you have two systems where we can learn something or we buy something.
Right.
That's it.
See, so don't think I'm advocating, but that come from someone I was told we've got to have a serious, was it an adult conversation?
Yeah.
Because you don't need to know every restaurant or every gentleman's club.
You don't actually, though. I would agree with that. You don't.
But
you don't really need to know any point of interest to any real degree.
So let's start focusing on what the public want rather than you know, go have a, what was it, adult conversation about the knowledge.
It was an adult conversation about, and of course, customer expectation.
It was a red rag to a bull to me.
Can we skip back then? When this is the meeting you've had with who and when?
So we had
she was a calming influence.
We had a follow-up knowledge workshop meeting to look at the next segment of the work that Katie Schnells and her team had done, and to have a kind of follow-up review.
And a wrong slide went up, didn't it?
A wrong slide went up.
And I saw it.
And
so 4 mile radius, let's say what it was.
Yeah, so we were going through how they plan to approach the points and look at some examples. And at the point I asked the question, and are you keeping the blue book at 320 runs, we all got took down a rabbit hole about having an adult conversation about customer expectations, along the lines of whether you expect the driver to speak to you or not,
knowing what points we should
clean go. Clean cab. But it was just really like random sort of stuff. I mean, everybody in the room, and it was cross-org, was of the view that, you know, the raison d'etre for doing the knowledge is to learn where you're going. For me, I suppose it's about a blend of keeping our heritage, but also it being relevant in the modern world. So... Yeah. In some ways, you're not inventing the wheel, but if I compare when I did the knowledge to now, I think at the time, Dean, you had the WizAnd Q. Do you remember the WizAnd Q&A?
Yep.
And there was a spreadsheet that I kept my points on. Now, when I went to some of the knowledge schools and spoke to the knowledge students and see all these whizzy things like the apps, the podcast, they call out FaceTime and all this stuff, I could shave 6-7 months off the knowledge with that kind of technology. So I think it's about keeping the principles of earning your badge, because I think if you earn it, you value it.
Absolutely.
You've invested that commitment into doing it, you know. But overlaying technology to make it a fairer, more robust process, because for me there is still a gap around examiner to examiner, the consistency. Is everybody getting a fair crack of the whip? It's not about it being easier, because not one student has said, I want it to be easier. And we did actually ask our students and our new drivers, was there anything that you learnt on the knowledge that's not relevant to you now, like 6-7 months in? And there were a few areas, now on the real outskirts, that were probably a bit sort of strange. I mean, one of the ones we used to have to learn was all the painting shops. Yep. Used to be a run for that.
Leyland's.
And I remember about a year into driving a cab, someone asked me for one. And then I sort of thought, oh, yeah, well, that's why we
that was Tony Swire, I think, kicked
that
off.
Yeah, it was him. But, you know, there was things like that. And then the comment was made, oh, well, people don't really go to Streatham. And we said, well, when the trains go down, you know, if you work as a cab driver day in, day out, you know tube lines
but
go
I think
down,
the issue was
down.
With technology now, with sat navs and that, you don't need to know what's in Pall Mall. And which to me, if getting senior people were saying that to you at TFL, I'm not talking about the knowledge department, I'm talking about senior people at TFL.
Yep.
That should put alarm bells, because if you're not going to know gentlemen clubs in Pall Mall, then you must be lowering your standards.
The customer expectation, the fundamental customer expectation that you get is that whether, you know, and it's that rule of thumb, isn't it? They tell you where they want to go, the passenger, and if they want to have a chat with you, you chat with them, but you also respect that they might actually just want to look at their phone, and they might be the only time of the day that they get a bit of peace and quiet, and it's their space in the back, and that's fine. You take that lead from that. So on the one hand, you've got customer expectation, which is that we'll put that window down, they'll tell us where we want to go, and we then go. They don't have that expectation. We're tapping away at a phone to look it up for a start, because even if you're not from London or you don't really know what the knowledge is, and people do ask us if we still do it, they're not expecting you to key it in.
I wanted people to perceive the knowledge was easier, so you sign on. Because if no one signs on, they needed to have... And the biggest thing that would have been easier would have been taking away the fees. Massively easier, but doesn't change the standard one iota. The other thing that didn't change the standard one iota would be to take away redlining. Doesn't change the standard. But now we really are getting into the realms of making the knowledge easier. Now we're genuinely doing things that are not in our powers and not things that I condone or want or wished for. It is, we was in a competitive industry where we competed to be the best that we are, and we are famous for what we learn and the standards that we achieve. And now we are going to go back to what, 1960s, 1950s level of knowledge, where it was very minimal. And it was this idea, again, that people go on about, you need to search the quarter mile radius at the start and finish. This stems from the fact that the knowledge was tested on the start radius and the finish radius and the run that went between. That was the testing. That wasn't our testing. Our testing was the anywhere to anywhere. So you keep maintaining this idea of telling people how to study that was based on a testing system that was from the 50s and 60s that you don't test them on anymore. So you're misleading them in that aspect. And now you are thinking about a 4 mile radius, and I start to think about the people screaming at me for saying get rid of redlining. Where are you screaming now? Because the 4 mile radius has not been a complete secret. It's drifted it out into the realms of the public.
Yeah, and who's pushing it?
But who? I don't know.
I think we know. I think the companies are definitely pushing it.
But then why?
Because they've said it prior, the first it ever come into our...
It screws with comparability. Exactly. Because that was the other question. That's what we asked. Well, are you going to change comparability?
Do you remember that famous one? What's the word of comparability?
Is it even a word?
And that's from a very senior person at TFL. And we've been compelled to take effect. That's what we do. Is that even a word?
And all the letters you get with your licence renewal and stuff, one of the main things they have their standard paragraph about is passenger-led service. One of the main complaints that passengers have is being broomed, which I think we would all agree with, and the route. So when you see customer complaints, now they don't come from TFL, Taxi Private Hire, they come from every complaint, be it the underground bus, whatever. And you'll get, if it's a complaint about a driver, you'll get a snapshot. So you don't get the whole picture, you just get a snapshot. And sometimes it's a misunderstanding, or, you know, there's probably a key diversion when we looked at it. Piccadilly Underpass was shut westbound for ages. And all right, it was probably a wide line. But the driver's actually explained it to the passenger to explain, I can go one side or the other, and ask the passenger to make the decision because the passenger's always right. And then they complain about the fare, which often is traffic related.
Mm.
But compellability is, you know, is linked to that. So, you know, we're compelled with it.
Is that even a word?
Well, that was my first ever, TFL meeting. Was the day after they announced the car free, the mayor announced car free city, and planned to kind of make it car free and all the rest of it. That was my very first meeting that I.
Well, I don't know about that, but I actually speculated that. That's been my idea of what's trying to happen anyway. So, and this again also feeds into my idea that this is what the PHV apps are seeing. They are going to see the reduction of everything going into town being only that is payable transport rather than drivable transport. See,
and that's why we've got to maintain and fight for our legal status as a publicly hired trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the buses will go, then taxis should go. As they want to move towards this utopian world with 15-minute villages and no vehicles, taxis are not a car. They're not a private vehicle. They're a taxi. They're a publicly hired vehicle. And we've got to maintain that. And that will also give... Maybe that is some of the things the apps are looking at, because it gives them a percentage of commission for a part of an industry they should never even been in.
Well, doesn't this bring us back, Dave, to making people like Unify?
Yeah, but I also think... is this part of the mayor's new vision that he spoke about he's got for us?
He's always got a vision.
What's the new vision?
I don't know what it is. Do we know?
The vision, last week it was, we've all acknowledged that it's about the knowledge was the problem with the future of the taxi driver.
Yeah, well,
so who's feeding him that? Because he doesn't know. Someone's feeding him. The problem with for the taxi trade and long-term longevity, you know, longevity is the knowledge. So he's already basically telling you.
I'm going to agree with him a little bit.
Well, you would.
No, I mean, there is a problem, and the problem was this, that if you'd have done... If you'd have got rid of redlining 6 or 7 years ago, you would have created an effect where, oh, the knowledge is easier than it was before. Redlining is no longer existing. Which other study system do you know where there's a snake and ladders system?
No
you don't. But you take the you said that in theory, which show my ignorance here, but take the redlining, but the standard the candidate has to be at to be the required standard for the knowledge will remain the same.
Exactly the same. So but people didn't see it.
So then our standards will not be dropping. And I've got no problem whether it takes whatever it takes, as long as the standard, at the required standard, is the same level. Mm. If you start getting a required standard with someone might know, the only thing they know on Oxford Street is Selfridges, and the only thing they know in Knightsbridge is Harrods, it's got to be, that's going to be reflected in your tariff.
Mm.
Because you've got, because the member of the public, they and we all know this, they flag you down because they expect you, when they know where they want to go, they expect you to go to the route that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they don't know where it is, but they expect you to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're publicly hired. They go, I've got to go to this restaurant. You've heard it. Yeah, get jumping. I know where it is.
There is no need to change the standard. I mean, we are still going to be competitive and be the best that we want to be. Because otherwise, again, we've said it many times before, who are you going to give a badge to? You may as well give it to the one that's most qualified. So we always have this competitive qualification.
I stole it. I'm like that. I stole one of your sayings. And I said, you know, we want to...
Never stroke a burning dog. Which one?
Oh, no, I've never stroked... I don't go nowhere near things like that. Saying, you know, I'm a good Catholic. Well, I mean, you kick your own.
Skin a turd for a ride.
No, but I stole the one, you know. We earn our badge.
Yes.
And the private eye buy their badge, and that's true. And we want to maintain. That's what we want to maintain.
And it looks like that might not be... I mean, there is a thing happening right now that's going on underneath, behind the scenes. And I seem to have seen so much more outrage 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago when I suggested, basically, get rid of redlining, take away the debiting points for hesitation. It's a sneaky way of trying to give someone a D. And make the knowledge free again and let the drivers fund it through their thingy. That would have it. That would be it. And the examiners would have kept their jobs. Now the jobs are kind of on the line. And now their job being on the line is making them come up with these inventive ideas that have not come from us. So these ideas were coming from me and people in the trade being shot down. But now the ideas are not coming from us.
I don't think they... When you do suggest sort of ideas, so one of the ideas, when we listened to the brief from the innovation team and the chart was pulled up around this like obsession with only 1% women in the trade. And then, but when you looked at coach drivers, it wasn't far off.
No, yeah, this has got to realise this is the new ideas that... women don't do the same jobs as men.
Yeah, it was this obsession. And but, you know, yeah, there probably should be more women. It's one of the most flexible jobs in the world, whether you've got children or you've got, you know, older parents.
Why don't they do plumbing?
Or
join the army? Or work in the sewers?
That's the beautiful thing, though, about the knowledge. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, what your educational background, you know, that I think that is one of the great things that's still there, and it should be celebrated. But then when you say, well, actually, it's not really about a 1%, and you know, we're told, you know, we want more women and all the rest of it. What about the return on the investment? What about what they're going to get out of putting in to?
And at the moment, you can't return the investment because you can do what we're doing, pay £300. You can't justify the investment on HP of an £100,000 vehicle when you can do it, pay £300 and drive a Prius next week.
Yeah.
But I will come back that when you, maybe not the first time you said redlining, but a couple of years ago, obviously it all went on social media, and I'm quite proud of myself that I actually took the time to hear what you're saying rather than react. So you went on and turned and said about you some ideas for the knowledge. And you know it. You heard him at Wizan. He wants to make the knowledge easier, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, we're all mad over the UCG. You think that's like pulling the pin out of a grenade and throwing it at me. You know what I mean? He wants to do what? But I listened. I listened to what you said. And you said, and it ended up being about the suburbs. And we now it was triple the amount it used to be. And I thought,
you said, I said no, I only did I think it was 36 or whatever it
so
was.
So our position then, we didn't, we actually turned and said, you know,
I did 128.
Yeah, so we said...
It was just duplication, wasn't it?
Yeah, so what did we, five of them are the same but one street at the end different.
So the
UCG something.
Actually came out and certainly said that our position was, we agreed with Wizz Air.
Yeah.
But we agreed with Dean Warrington. We went and did some homework because...
But we did, yeah.
Was probably, I'd say probably myself and Brian and Jamie are probably the nearest to have the recent group to have done the knowledge, but that was still at least 10 years plus. When we used to go to the carriage office, my recollection of your little white card was they'd always put little pencil initials of who you'd get next, so it would rotate. And so if you had, I don't know, Mr. Thomas or Mr. Swires, you weren't going to get them the next time, and then they'd rub it out, but you more or less could see.
Yeah.
They must rotate on the same consistency, surely.
The idea is that you will not get the same examiner on any set of seven.
Yeah.
Doesn't work, but that's okay. But the idea is there, and if they are pushed, you can get an examiner. Now, then it becomes unfair if you get one particular examiner over another examiner, because then you've had that particular person more than once. It's not the fact that they're scoring so low and so high. They are literally D'ing you before you walked in the door.
See, I've got no time for that. That's the thing that makes me
And
really
I raised
angry.
That on the last, sort of intimated that sort of thing at the last conversation we had, which I think I remember saying to you that a member was going to get red-lined over hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we've all been hesitant.
Yeah, hesitation should just be abandoned and basically...
It's wrong.
But it's nerves, isn't
it's
it?
Nerves.
I mean, I used to have terrible nerves and I used to close my eyes when I called my runs at the carriage office.
Yeah.
And to a degree, if I could see it, I could call it. And I was always better on my runs than I was on my points.
Yeah.
But I knew, because I'm not a very confident person, that I might not get A's and B's. But I would consistently pass, and I knew once my bum was on a seat in that cab that I would gain my confidence in driving the cab and I would be a good cab driver.
Yeah.
But I probably wasn't the best student.
I certainly wasn't.
I learnt more from my mistakes. I think I've got two Ds. More from my mistakes than I did from, you know, the successes.
Yeah.
But it's got to be fair.
Do you know why they had hesitation?
Why is that?
Well, basically, when this new system came in, I was fairly heavily involved. It was Ted Howes and a summer buggy back then. And
is that why we went to end up going places like Wealdstone's and Cricklewood's? And
well, yeah, there were some longer runs and they cut them into pieces, but they did some 2 pence quarter mile radiuses. They'd done a clock face. They turned the clock face 4 times. Each blue book goes every postcode once.
Yeah.
These ideas. And hesitation was the idea that how can we D somebody who we don't want to score?
Yes.
So how do you give a vague idea? Rather than on the old system was, you had no idea you scored, so there was nothing to give. This guy's very good, but does not deserve their drop. Don't want him to have their drop. You may have even been good enough to get your drop, but you're not getting it because the examiners are deciding something that's behind the scenes that they wanted to try and make public. Now everything's just trying to be very modern and open-minded. So the hesitation idea, again... If we transferred this hesitation idea and the redlining idea into any other form of study and examinations, it would be laughed at. It would be like you're basically...
It wouldn't be tolerated.
No.
I mean, it's like in Ofsted, or if you do qualifications that in say, linguistics, where you do an oral exam where you're speaking a different language, you would have somebody observing it. You know, even when I used to train people and do like mock interviews for recruitment, mock disciplinary hearings and things like that, you would have an observer kind of sitting into the wall, watching and observing and giving that person feedback. So, you know, I mean, we hear the idea about CCTV in cabs, which I think has pros and cons. But if you're doing an appearance and you're looking for consistency and a fair application of the knowledge process, why can't it be recorded so that it's accessible if you need it? So
well, we pointed this out, and my understanding of what I know about technology is it's absolutely super simple, but for some reason they want to have a more complicated system. A micro SSD card will hold my good, a week, maybe even a month's worth of information for each examiner. And the information could be just a recorder that you put on manually and just press record. The thing has a time and date stamp in it. The SSD card could be put in a little box and kept for as long as you like and takes up no space.
It's the same as our dash cam footage.
Yep.
It's only accessible from, say, Taxi World. If you have an accident or you need to, and then you would contact them, they would download it. It would be date and...
And I'm not advocating... Because everyone of a certain age could give you an horror story about examiners, et cetera, and what they put you through.
Mm.
But there is an element of character testing, and someone told me we want to come away from that, right? Now, the thing is, I think what your appearance is and some of this temper, I'm not taking the most extreme where they do, but a lot of this character testing, because we'll get you ready for when you're actually dealing with the general public. Now, God rest his soul, Mr. O'Keefe.
Yeah.
I used to have a fixer on him, right? Because every time, it's funny now. Looking back, it is funny. He would chair like I'm in there and he would say, I'm disabled.
Yeah, it was funny.
And then he'd start, give you your point, you'd say where it was going, and then you'd start calling it, go, stop, you ain't strapped me in. Now, someone like me, because I wasn't good at knowledge anyway, strapped you in, right? And I've lost it now. And you know, and I'll always remember. I've called the Strand, and I ain't called the Aldwych. I've gone Strand Fleet Street. He's gone. He's tipped the chair. You've killed me.
Yeah. You killed me. You don't know, O'Keefe.
And I thought, oh, Mr. O'Keefe. And every time at Paris, I know O'Keefe. I know O'Keefe. And when I went up for my rec, and I was kept waiting for a long while, and then my name was called out for my rec, and it was my nemesis. It's O'Keefe. Oh, no, I ain't getting it. I'm not getting it today. But he actually said, make way, cab driver walking. But, of course, I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to start throwing himself all around the room. He's going to put me right through the ringer. But he was character testing me.
Yeah.
And when I, very soon when I first got out, I got a guy who got in the back of my cab and started talking to me. Do you know this one? What's that one, mate? And he's singing. Oh, no, I don't know that. I wrote that 1.5 hour ago. So everything, the way O'Keefe was acting, oh, you ain't strapped me in, it prepared me for them sort of people.
Mm.
And I'm not knocking the public. So I'm not advocating we go back to the same famous if the parrot's looking that way. But I do think you do need an element of character testing, because it also shows what you're like. Because if you was going to flare up...
I'm not sure if that's character testing. I think that's having a killing the boredom of the day's examination.
In that respect, he probably had a laugh at my expense. But we do need some temperament testing, shall we say? Because
I think you'd spot it, Trevor.
The oral appearance in itself is character testing.
Absolutely, Karen. I'm with you on that one.
Because I remember having an appearance, and I won't say who it was with, and I absolutely know that he gave me the destination up Brands Highgate, and then when I said set down on left, he said, no, I didn't ask you to take me there, I asked you to take me here, which was like three roads down. And you know, I'm very like calm, I'm not easily flustered, so I just said, oh, sorry sir, I must have misheard, carried on, called it, even though I knew he was going to give me a D. But somebody else might have flared up at that.
Yeah.
And there's those kind of subtleties that you get in an oral environment that you don't get on a map test or on a computer. So if that element's kept, but the, you know, entertaining yourself as an examiner to make it life difficult, it's just not right.
No,
it's not professional.
It's not professional. And it technically it's supposed to be an educational
Mr. O'Keefe, and my appearance with Mr. O'Keefe were like scenes out.
I mean, I would like to go back to it, but I make Karen exactly right on this. But these different it era was, completely.
But my appearances with my every appearance, and God rest his soul, because he was the one who gave me my rec and shook me hand. But it was like scenes out of Monty Python.
Yeah.
And I think I'll have him. I haven't had him since the last time he killed me. What's with? So I want to get a cup of tea. I always remember it. We're going to go. No, I don't want to go there. I don't like the tea there.
Mm.
Where else can I go? So it was always like that.
But the carriage office was like that.
It's funny now, looking back.
The footsteps was what I think some of them used to overplay the footsteps because we'd all sit in the room and you'd all be leaning and you were trying to work out whose footsteps it was. And then sometimes they'd stick their head in the door And then you'd have to find which room they were in. I mean, there was that sort
of...
Oh,
yeah, they used to wire.
And you was already nervous before...
Call your name.
Which is not fair. And all this thing.
Call your name and then they shoot off a bit lively and you're looking mm-hmm. for... That still goes on. I mean, there was an examiner who was famous for... That was hilarious.
Well, yeah, there's an examiner doing similar things at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's probably been someone who's been doing it for about 20 parts, years.
Yeah. But I'm not saying that everybody's got a score every time. Because you might not have put the work in, you might not have called it, in a sort of straight direction. But picking and choosing stuff just to make life hard isn't really the way to go.
No.
I mean, I don't think anybody can expect to have all appearances and maybe not, we all have an off day.
Mm-hmm.
You might get a D, and then another time you might get a chance and someone might have been a bit generous.
Mm-hmm. What is luck involved? Yeah. There is luck.
But we get back to the knowledge. If you've done the knowledge, but you know this because you run school, so you see the students, you see how much they're putting their heart and soul into achieving their goal of being a taxi driver. Now, you don't get paid for that. You're giving, and sometimes you just might not know enough, and it's not today, it's not your day. Go back, you've got 3 months, 56 days, keep studying or whatever. But when you've done everything you possibly can. And that examiner, this today, I'm an examiner, I think, you know what, I saw the little cafe open yesterday, right? I'm going to ask that. But mm-hmm. no way of knowing it, no chance of knowing it. That's not fair. And you're playing about with, and you're soul destroying them. As I said, redlining people for hesitation. It's not a game, because these mm-hmm. people, most of us are all of a certain age, so we've got families. We're trying to make a better life for our families.
Yeah.
Now, and sometimes there's an abuse, and that has gone on. And when, credit to Mom Channels, when the member I raised it, she overruled that because he would have gone right back. As it is, he got his drop to 21s, and he's now.
Say he'd given up.
He could have given
that's
up.
That's the extreme. Loads
have given up. I mean, loads of people have given up when they shouldn't have. Loads of people have given up because they were on 9 points, 21s, red line back to 28s.
Yep.
Given up. So this is what we destroyed people on.
Because it could be a 6 months to a year thing.
Yeah. I don't know if we spoke about it before, but I'm at 6 suicides in my 27, 28 years
that's
of
awful.
Doing the knowledge. Yeah. So that's when you're doing these things and you forget that you're dealing with human beings, it's not.
No, that's terribly sad.
So the examiners do, in general, do a great job. And I'm not so maybe we always need one vampire, one really bad examiner. But do we need necessarily two or three or four? And the egos play a part when they should be doing a job. And I often compare it to any other form of testing. If you was a driving tester, you're the instructor who's teaching you to drive, and you go for the test, those testers across the board should be looking for exactly the same things that are failures or not failures. There won't be a randomness. And there would also be that everybody today passed. That's just... anomaly.
That standard was that good.
They all passed. And maybe every other time someone failed. So there is always been this randomness. And I've sat in on many appearances over the years. And then you will get a student that cannot even speak. You're going to fail. You couldn't speak. Whether it was totally through nerves, but generally it's not. It's through lack of standard and nerves. And you could ask people the simplest questions. You can, one of the classics I tend to ask any beginner is just King's Cross Station to Euston Station, and they end up with the problem of how do they get into Euston Station. So all you've done is ask one road to one road. You don't even have to make the runs super difficult. And what it would show, if they could run that run, it would know that they actually had looked at the problem, solved the solution, and come up with it. Otherwise, generally, you can't actually even do that simple route. So you don't even have to go bananas with questions to make students difficult. But there
I could
is
get out of Nevin Square on an appearance.
It's tough. Nevin Square is tough.
He said that next time you go there, on your bike, take some sandwiches because you can't get home.
I did loads of little runs through Nevin Square and come out to Hoover and
because it was
complicated.
But they knew that I hadn't done enough in Nevin Square because, mm-hmm. as I say, I couldn't get.
But then you had to repeat that. And that's the problem you have. If you're not repeating the problem, I'm going to ask a difficult question. We pointed this out. I'm going to ask you a difficult question, but then I'm going to ask maybe three easier ones. But the difficult one is now out there. Now, if I never ask it again, then what was the point? You're basically just showing how rubbish people are. You want me to know everything? And we don't need to know everything.
It's the consistency.
But if you put it out there, and everyone on 28 days now should know how to get in and out of the Vernon Square, because you're going to be asking it on a regular basis.
Yes, and you're seeing it, and they will do. And the examiners always in the past would see exactly the moment that the penny has dropped. Every person coming in on a certain level is all answering that question. And when they answered it enough, then maybe I can put in another new one. Yeah. And you can build on that. But the standard that we've gone from the 1950s to the 60s to the...
Now.
Yeah. I have to confess, I think the decline of the standard started quite a while ago. But the standard reached epic proportions. We were amazing at what we was being asked to achieve. At the moment, the numbers are just far too low to maintain that standard. So there is a battle going on between that. But now you have shocked me if the idea of the 4 mile, I thought the 4 mile thing was put to bed. But you say it was the wrong slide, so it may have been put to bed.
I saw it and I reacted.
We're
as
still
you can
waiting
imagine.
For this. We've asked for the slides and the briefing notes.
And we're still waiting 2 months later?
Yeah, because we asked after Christmas because it was in an article saying that we'd all been shared the plans and a degree.
That was the Mayor article?
Yeah.
And we hadn't
taxi
seen them?
Point. Yeah. And we agreed them, so I followed it up and still waiting to hear.
Okay.
Something's afoot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand why. If you're gonna, I don't know. I've worked in the background where I used to do restructuring all the time, and it was never personal. Sometimes you'd have to work alongside somebody, and so the last major recession when Lehman's crashed, I worked for a children's charity, and a lot of the fundraising, well, most of the income was fundraising, was corporate fundraising, and they were going to obviously cut their cloth accordingly, and then you'd have individuals giving. So when the tsunami happened in Thailand, the individual giving went down because people were giving to the tsunami fund, you know, disaster funds and things that happened. So you would have to restructure a department, you would have to change it. It might be the change of the way that you were doing the work, it might be the change of the people in the team. But you had a responsibility to explain it to the people impacted, how it was going to change, and kind of take them through it. So I don't understand all the secrecy. Why can't they tell you, or the people that need to be aware of it, so the schools and us, that this is what we propose to do, this is what we propose to do over this period of time, this is why we're doing it. You can embargo it. Because... you know, at the moment, you've got students now. Are they thinking, well, is it going to change what I've started? Will I now have to learn less, more?
I think we know what's going to happen. I mean, the set list of points is going to come in.
Yeah.
The blue book's being rewritten. The fact if you reduce the blue book runs to one run doesn't make a blind bit of difference. If the examiners are going to test you, you needed some way of acquiring the knowledge to get to that. So changing the amount of runs doesn't change anything. Reducing the areas that we go to, because technically we don't go there enough. I don't see any point whatsoever. We go to all these areas at some stage during our working career.
It was 4 years old data, but we know that there is... some data is being provided, because obviously some of the data being provided for bank, for example, is coming that
free,
way.
From free now.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it was driver surveys, which, I mean, you know, you could pluck out of the air, to be quite honest. And it was pre-COVID data. And what we found when we came back after lockdown is that people were reluctant to get on the tube in a crowded environment, so they were getting a cab and they potentially going a bit longer. Yeah. But it was anecdotal, because unless it's captured by a circuit or an app, it's a taxi driver's word, and it seemed to have... Or when the trains go down and stuff like that, but the data was very old
assumption. Naive of me, and perhaps it is, but look, we've all said we don't want to lower the standard of knowledge, but the knowledge did need improving. It needed bringing up to 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's relevant.
It's relevant. Mm-hmm. So then, for me, the common sense would have said, right, so the people, the examiners who are doing the knowledge day in and day out, speak to Knowledge Point and WizEnt, who are doing the knowledge day in and day out, get a consensus of where there can be improvements, what's causing the problem, but they've never done none of that. That's not, they started talking, no disrespect, you know, I want to talk to the, what do you want out of it? The, what would the UCG want out of it? I don't do it day in, day out. You do.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you about the knowledge, but not me. Why would you talk to people who are not even regulated about what should happen with the knowledge? It baffles me.
Yeah.
So we was quoted a figure, and I might have misquoted it. Was it used to, on average, it used to be, was it 12 appearances? To get,
I think it was 12 to 18.
12 to 18.
If he was part-time to full-time. And then now, it was 36 to 43.
And now it's 36 to 43. Well, London hasn't drastically changed. So why has it gone from 18 to 36?
Oh, there's more to that sort of statistic than meets the eye. That basically there were more people, more dedicated and more full-time going back in time. There are more people now are part-time. There's the very, very few full-timers that chose this as a career. My generation, we were all full-timers. There was loads of us. And now it's completely changed. So these people are going to take longer.
Well, obviously, yeah. Can you learn it? So yeah. That's... But would it go from 18 to, say, 43?
Well, back then, Trevor, there was people that did the knowledge in 20 years, going back 20 years ago. So there were people that had been on it 10, 15, and 20 years then. So they were the people that were doing it part-time and trying to wing it. And they were the people they wanted to weed off, which they successfully did, that we now need, begging them, we need the 20-year veterans to be on the knowledge so that everybody kind of maintains a job that they got.
Some of the there were some outliers that were affecting, they said, the figures, but they'd started to see the appearance numbers coming down now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that there was this gap before where there's this like notional 2-year kind of deadline to do your blue books. So people were going out doing the blue books but weren't necessarily putting their application form in, or they weren't kind of on TfL's radar. But now those numbers have kind of aligned, if you like, mm-hmm. and people are actually on their radar. And when they come in for the initial talk, they might be 2 books in.
Yeah.
So there's some of that sort of changing. But also, I think historically, you had a lot of people who only went to a school once they got a D.
Why they, as I say, to repeat myself, why they couldn't have just got you the experts in, because that's what you are,
mm-hmm.
and talk about it, and then come to the trade bodies and say, look, we're going to make some changes to the...
That would have made complete sense, Trevor. That's why they couldn't do that, because we could have discussed it. And I would have said to you why I think it's good, and you always can put a slant on it that I like, because I can't see that side of the argument, and we can debate it out. And as an organisation, we can then decide, look, as much as you don't think it's the best idea, it is actually what we conclude.
What have I actually said to our other colleagues in the trade? We should have a meeting with trade and the knowledge schools, and let's hear what they've got to say.
Yeah,
because there has to be compromise on some things, but also, I mean, I don't think they can wear 2 hats. The clue's in the name, Knowledge of London Examiner.
Yeah.
When you look at the job description and the spec for the job that they do, they are there to examine and to maintain standard. They're not there to interfere and tell you how you're supposed to learn it, because you might go to a school, you might not go to a school. Yeah. There are people that don't go to a school and just, you know, buy the books and crack on in their own way.
Yeah.
It's muddy in the waters.
Karen Proctor, Trevor Merrills, thank you very much.
But this is the last time I'll ever be invited, apparently. And obviously, actually...